Vincenzo occupied the center of the room. A heavy frown creased his brow, and he was staring at the floor. Just as I concluded that he lacked the will to confront this new crisis, Vincenzo raised his chin, dusted his palms, and briskly assured Romeo that Carmela would be found. Then he called to Alfonso in the corridor. "Are all the other servants downstairs?"
"Yes, signore."
"Right, then. We must proceed in a logical fashion. We'll split our forces and search every—" Before Vincenzo could finish, the sounds of running feet sounded in the corridor. Giovanni and another footman burst into the room, terror on their faces.
"Ernesto says you must come, signore, right away."
"What is it?" Octavia and Vincenzo cried in tandem. Giovanni shook his head wildly.
"Something in the cantina. Ernesto wouldn't let us go down. He sent us to fetch you."
Vincenzo rushed for the stairs, motioning the footman to accompany him. To everyone else, he threw over his shoulder, "Stay up here, all of you. Go to your rooms." "I'll be damned," said Romeo, and broke into a sprint. The rest of us followed like a herd of startled sheep, down the stairwell so low its ceiling brushed the top of my head, across an uncarpeted hallway and into another tight stairwell. A right turn, and a left, and then a blast of warm air met my face as we entered the kitchen. Copper pots bubbled on a hearth set before a huge fireplace, and the long work table was covered with stoneware bowls, heaps of vegetables, the skinned carcasses of several rabbits. Across the room, a brick arch framed Nita and the two young maids. The girls were gabbling in whispers and twisting their aprons, one with tears running down her face.
"Stop your foolishness, Bettina," Nita was saying. "I know no more than you do, so it's no good going on with your questions."
The nervous trio scurried back at the sight of their master and his motley entourage. Beyond the arch, a passageway with a short flight of steps led down to the cantina. After a heartbeat of hesitation, Vincenzo plunged ahead. In my haste to keep up, I tripped over the hem of my dressing gown and tumbled into Emilio. He shoved me back on balance with a rough hand.
"You don't always have to be first, Amato. We'll all see soon enough."
See, we did, and it was a sight I won't soon forget. Carmela lay half submerged in the stomping vat, her shoulders propped against the far rim and her head lolling to one side. Long tendrils of her unbound hair floated on the surface of the grape slurry, and the discolored fabric of her skirt billowed in violet hillocks. By virtue of a trio of bows that decorated her sleeves, I recognized the dress as one of her loose morning gowns. The juice had stained the soprano's face with livid purple blotches, so that I didn't at first notice the dark, reddened pulp where her hairline met her forehead. Had a bash on the head felled her? Her mouth was agape in a circle of surprise, and her eyes seemed frozen in the desperate gaze of a drowning woman. I looked away, sickened, but an urgent memory forced me to look right back. Yes, they were still there. A beautiful pearl gleamed at each ear. "Get her out," Vincenzo ordered. "You, Giovanni, and you, Adamo." The footman shuffled toward the vat. Neither seemed to want to be the first to touch the corpse. Ernesto stepped over the rim with a look that clearly asked, "Must I do everything myself?" The footmen reluctantly followed, staining their white stockings as dark as their blue livery. After much slipping and sliding, the three of them lifted Carmela from her ghastly bath and laid her on the flagstoned floor. Sobbing unabashedly, Romeo bent on one knee and tried to wipe his lover's face clean with the hem of his nightshirt. I'd never seen the big fellow so moved. The other musicians gathered close behind him, frightened, astonished, whispering among themselves. I noted that Octavia had the presence of mind to test the door to the outside ramp. It was locked from the inside.